We are back with another episode of your favorite Dynasty Baseball podcast, The On Deck Circle. I'm your boy, Nick Z, over here at F6P, giving you some fantastic advice, and I'm mostly just here for my looks, but that's fine with me. I'm going to call in my guy, Jason Beckner, for our first question of the day. I asked Jason before the pod started, made sure he's a TV guy. He says he loves TV. It's another hobby of his. So this question was given to me. It's kind of tough, so like it might take you a couple minutes. Name three TV characters that you think represent you.
Oh.
I will go first just so you can think.
Okay.
So for me, I'm going Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
Which was like a pretty good show. I think I watched the whole thing. Hold on one second. Another one is Jerry Seinfeld, just because I'm hilarious. And then one second, I forgot. I'm blanking on the guy's name. The dad from Modern Family. What's his name?
Oh, from Modern Family? Which dad?
No, the young dad. Oh, I'm Phil
the real estate guy? Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a tough one. I don't know. I think I'm gonna kind of like play off some of yours, and I'm gonna go with the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Okay.
I feel like I have a lot of similarities with him.
Just, before or after he started himself. Making meth?
No, yeah, different show, but yeah. Just being a dad myself, I feel like I have a lot of similarities with him.
Yeah.
Man, I don't even know three of them. That's hard in the spot.
Do you remember the TV show Still Standing? It's actually based in Chicago.
This it sounds familiar.
You kind of remind me of that dad in there. I think I would just pick dads for you because you're a dad.
Okay.
So that's like
yeah,
easy.
That's, I mean.
I don't know who else.
Peter Griffin.
Yeah. All right. I mean, sure. I didn't say it.
And I don't know. And I'm trying to think of other funny dads or I feel like I don't even know. That's hard. Three is hard.
Three is tough. I'd also be the dad from Yes, Dear, just because I'm kind of like a simp, as the kids would say.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Some modern lingo in here.
Yeah, yeah. No cap is something else the kids say.
There you go. Yeah. So I said that to my wife the other day, and she was like, come on. You're almost 40 years old. Yeah. What do you
say? One of my students just said, that's cap, Nick. And I said, I don't know what that means. Like, get out.
Exactly.
All right, Dave's probably gonna get pissy now. So Dave, come on in. Your question's easier.
Man, I hope my question's easier. That'd have been a hard one. Like,
I know.
If you had a name like, hey, what's one person? Okay, but like three?
Yeah, it's three.
That's hard. And I gotta tell you guys, I am, as you know, because I told you off screen here before we got on here, I am balls deep in negotiations here at our trade deadline with Mike Trout available. So if I'm a little bit off, I am mid-negotiating right as we speak.
This is like some money ball shit going on right now.
So your question will be easier, Dave. Just name one guy that you want to sleep with.
No. That I want to sleep with? That I want to sleep with? Jason Beckner.
No. An under-the-radar football guy that you are drafting on all your fantasy football teams.
Well, fun fact, I don't play fantasy football.
What?
No, I haven't had a fantasy football team in probably like 5 years. I am all about the DFS.
Okay, all right.
So I don't play – yes, I don't play fantasy football, so to speak. I play it in a different realm. So I don't know.
Not even best ball or anything?
Well, I do some best ball, but that's different.
Yeah, it's different.
So here's what I'll do instead. Tell me if this is a fair swap then. And it's not like Pat and I aren't going to talk about every game for an hour in, come next Friday. But I'll give you a week one guy that I wouldn't say is, well, kind of wouldn't say it's under the radar. I think by the time we get to Sunday, I think he's going to become pretty popular. But at the moment, a guy for week one and maybe the first few weeks of the season, Marcus Callaway, who theoretically is the number three running, number three wide receiver for the Saints. But with Michael Thomas out and how well he's been looking in the preseason with Winston chucking that rock around, I mean, I know this probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you guys, but like, I think right now his salary for week one is like $3,400, which is nothing. Yeah. I mean, Mike Thomas, if he was healthy and playing, you know, he's you're looking at probably, you know, an $8,000 guy. So Callaway's half that. So a little bit off topic, I guess, but that's it's the best way I could relate it.
Jason, do you have one?
Yeah, I actually been, and it's like the middle of all my drafts right now. So I've been taking late Rondale Moore, Arizona Cardinals receiver.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good week one guy I'm looking at too because they're playing the Titans. And so I'm going to be having lots of stacks there with, you know, Tannehill and either A.J. Brown or Julio. And then on the flip side of that, Hopkins, Rondale Moore, some combination of them. Throw Kyler in for some as well. Mm-hmm. So some combination, three of those, you know, three of those four or three of those five, four of those five are going to be a lot of my lineups. So
I can't wait for football.
Well, maybe, no, I was going to say maybe you could join us once in a while. Like once in a maybe once or something for our DFS podcast, but that really it's not really a guest friendly show.
I'd love to just sit there and listen. That's what I do with you guys.
Well, you can fucking listen. You can subscribe. It's available right now. Go on there, subscribe, set a reminder. Friday nights Antonio at 8. Gibson.
I know he's like he's not under the radar, but like I'm trying to get him everywhere. He's gonna be so good.
Yeah, that's like me being like, I like Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a good quarterback.
He's not Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not Patrick Mahomes. But all right, that's enough of this horseshit, Jason. I can't believe you're letting us continue.
I know. I know. We keep getting off topic for so long in the beginning, but hey, let's get on to it now. And this kind of struck my interest earlier. I know we spoke about this earlier in the season, and we had the debate about you know who the number one dynasty asset could be, and as if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could ever take over Tatis or Acuna without the stolen bases. But now after a strong 2021 season, there's a new fighter that's entered the competition. And it's a pitcher, actually. But actually, that pitcher is Shohei Ohtani.
Swerve.
Yeah. Currently, Ohtani's got 42 home runs, which leads all of baseball. 20 stolen bases, which ranks fourth best in the AL and eighth best in all of Major League Baseball. And he also has a 3.0 ERA with an 8-1 record and 170 strikeouts and 105 innings pitched. So my question to you guys is, I know we talked earlier about, you know, can Vlad or, you know, take over as the number one spot, but what are our thoughts on Ohtani possibly being the number one asset in Dynasty going forward?
Nicholas?
All right, I'll let – so as Dave's trying to trade Mike Trout.
Oh, man, we're talking about – let's see, who's the guy that we just got? I can say it. I don't even know how to say his first name. Shervin Newton is the guy that's now where that's where we're getting
the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry.
You're surprised that I knew who that was. But I would say he can definitely be the number one guy. Each week this changes though. Like it's same with like the face of baseball talk. Like Acuna's hurt. He's still probably the number one guy. Ish. It's just like a rotating fucking circle. It's Acuna. It's Tatis. It's Soto's been unbelievable in the second half. It's Ohtani. And that's like, I'm probably, am I missing one of them? I think it's just those.
I mean, Trout, but he's getting
Vlad.
Pushed down the list. Vlad, yeah.
But it's just like a flavor of the week type of thing, especially with baseball because it's such a long grind of a season. Each week, a guy like if Tatis hits 5 home runs in a week, he's going to be like, oh, he should be the number one guy going into next year. So it's going to come down to who has the best end of this season, and then he'll be the number one guy going into next. I don't do rankings like Dave does.
Neither do I. I just kind of put names in a hat, and then I draw them out, and then I just, you know, yeah.
But yeah, what are your thoughts, Dave?
I didn't know it was on me yet. My bad. I'm in negotiations. I mean, are we talking? So the way that the question was put in the notes is, can Ohtani be the number one player in Dynasty? I think the answer to that question obviously is duh. You know, he may already be the number one player in Dynasty. Right. I mean, it's not a hot take to say, hey, I would take Ohtani 1-1 right now. I don't know. It may not be the popular choice, like the majority choice, but it's, I mean, if you took Ohtani 1-1, no one's going to kind of look at you funky. It might be a little bit of wishful thinking. I don't know if he can do what he's doing right now for years, but he's doing it right now. So I guess until he doesn't do it, you know, after doing it, I guess we'll see. But if the question is more, can he be number one or is he number one when we get to like startup drafts next year, I'm going to say the answer is no. I would still take Acuna ahead of him. I would still take Soto ahead of him. And then after that, you know, you can kind of split some hairs, you know, if you want to, with, you know, Trout. You can split hairs with Vlad. That's probably, you know, pretty close to it. But can he be number one? Yeah, I mean, a guy that's a great hitter and you get a great pitcher on the side, because he's a better hitter than he is a pitcher. I mean, he just is. Like, his hitting value is going to maintain. His pitching could end like that. You know, we've seen that already happen to him.
Do we get to a point where, you know, the Angels say, hey, just no more pitching, just go to hitting?
If he gets hurt again, like if he goes out there, you know, he's going to miss. If he needs Tommy John, you know, he gets that repaired, and I'm pretty sure they would say that's enough. Like, you know, that's enough. You're plenty valuable enough as a hitter that will go ahead and be fine without you being a pitcher. What I've always said that I think would be the way to maximize his value long term is to make him your closer. Yeah. I mean, yes, he is way too good to be a closer, but he's way too good of a hitter to knowingly just put him out there as a pitcher, knowing that he's going to get hurt. I mean, he just is. It's just going to happen again. Yeah. He's going to get hurt. And so then you're going to lose him for an extended period of time. I think that you still get pretty good value with him as a closer, or have let him be your fucking eighth inning guy because you got Iglesias. I mean, whatever.
Right.
But I still think you're getting really good value from him. Not to say he couldn't even throw two innings, you know, when the situation was needed. He's obviously got tremendously more value as a starter, but I think you're just stealing from yourself, I think, by trying to make him a every fifth, every sixth day starting pitcher.
I agree. And there's another just way to maybe even limit his innings and, you know, extend that amount of pitching he can put in.
Or let him be an opener. You know, let him be an opener. Let him pitch two innings and then go play right field.
At least he doesn't need to do playoff innings.
An opener is another clever way about going about. Yeah, let him face, you know, the top of the order. Let him face the middle of the order. Go put him in the outfield.
Yeah.
And then have him close. The
beginning.
Well, theoretically you could, but you would never.
That'd be fucking sick.
But you let him open 6 days a week.
Yeah.
Or hell, you probably let him open 5 days a week, but you got to limit him, you know.
Right.
You know, two innings or what, 40 pitches, 50 pitches or something. He's got to be really limited. You're probably still going to hurt him. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I will say.
Can't let that arm not pitch.
I have him in a dynasty, which is unfortunately a weekly dynasty league. So that, I feel like his value takes a huge hit.
Yeah.
Only because. Unless
you get two Ohtanis.
Right. Unfortunately.
If it splits them, then that's one thing. But because you're just using him as a hitter then.
Yeah.
You don't get any pitching stats. That drops him down significantly.
Exactly. I know a lot of people don't do the weekly lineup, so I think it's more of a niche market and stuff like that to talk about. But just something to take note of. If you are a weekly lineup, then obviously it's a huge hit. But yeah, I thought it was a good topic. I know we talked about a little bit about Vlad early in the season, and then, you know, Ohtani does bring the stolen bases. So
yeah, I'm sure come the off season here, you know, that'll be something that we can revisit again and get a little more specific. And I mean, you could almost develop a whole show around that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But speaking of guys that get hurt from pitching, Jason.
Let's get into our next topic here. The Miami Marlins' fourth-round pick in 2020 and one of my favorite pitching prospects in the 2020 class, Jake Eater was shut down this past week, and the Marlins have announced that Jake will need Tommy John surgery. Jake Eater was drafted out of Vanderbilt University, where he was actually their closer during the 2019 championship run. So far in 2021, Eater's made 15 starts for AA. He was 3-5 with a 1.77 ERA, 0.98 whip, 99 strikeouts, and 71 innings pitched, including a start in which he pitched 5 perfect innings to start the game. With his injury this late in the season, obviously he'll be held out for probably most of all of 2022. So, you know, what does this do to Eater's future outlook and his dynasty value going forward? Is this going to see a huge drop-off in it just because now, you know, it's still only a season he's going to miss technically, but, you know, it's a future season, I guess, in retrospect. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on this, and does it take a hit to his future dynasty value?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard because I think that you have to plan on any pitching prospect needing Tommy John at some point.
Just get out of the way.
I honestly feel like if you have a pitching prospect, you might as well just expect or plan on him needing Tommy John at some point. And then when it happens, because it's probably going to, you're not surprised, you're not disappointed. It's not messing up, you know, your ETAs or your timelines or anything like that. But I mean, to some extent, maybe to a large extent, you know, Eater really kind of blew past a lot of expectations, you know, this season. So it very well is that now is the time to sell him anyways, especially after the injury. You know, you could probably find people, you know, such as myself, who I prefer actually to trade for someone who either is in the middle of Tommy John surgery or is in the recovery from it, because it, like I said, it's happened, it's out of the way. I shouldn't have to worry about it happening again. If it does, then he's probably just done anyways. Mm-hmm. So I think you probably missed your chance to sell high, you know, like a month ago, but I feel like if I owned him, but I'm also a different, you know, I look at pitching prospects differently than other people, but if I did own him, I would almost certainly be looking to sell, because I can still get 5 times what I could have, you know, got for him a year ago or, you know, 6 months ago by trading him now. And I don't think that he's going to turn into more than, you know, a number 3, a number 4 at the big league level. So I don't think he's going to ever be anything too spectacular. I could be wrong, but that's my thoughts anyways.
This is going to be quick. I didn't know who Jake Eater was before this news came out.
What the fuck?
I had no idea. And I know who Dax Fulton is for the Marlins, but I don't know who this guy is. Was he picked before Dax Fulton?
He was a 4th-round pick. So
okay.
So what else you need? What else you need to know?
I'm just in general the fact I wouldn't buy him. He's just kind of like a jabroni.
So let me give you a little. Well, he's a top 100 prospect now.
Really?
Yeah. FYI. Yeah.
I think he's like 90 something.
Yeah, it's 90 something. I mean, it depends where you look, but yeah, he's in there. My suggestion, Nick, you have access to a group chat on Twitter, 30 yeah. Rock. Mm-hmm. Just every once in a while, pop in there.
Oh no, that's where I saw the news.
And we've talked about him quite a bit, not recently, but when things were really starting to, when he was really starting to get going. What, like 2 months ago or so? I mean, he was being talked about here and there. He wasn't a name that I had going into first-year player drafts for, like, this year from that draft class. Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually I would have, you know, he just wasn't a guy that I was starting, because prior to these 30-teamers, like, the deepest league I was in is, like, 14 teams. And so we only have 90 pick or 5 rounds, so that's 90 picks. Yeah. He's not a guy that I was considering in those 90 picks. And maybe shame on me, because obviously he should have been. So it was a guy that up until he started to, I don't know if you want to call it break out, but, you know, when he started to really catch fire, you know, earlier this year, that's when I'd heard of him, but I didn't really know who he was exactly. Like, I probably couldn't have told you what team he was even on at that point. It just wasn't a guy that was on my radar.
I'll get better.
Let's get into a guy who is maybe not on the Dodgers' radar anymore.
Let's get the next one here. Someone that's a bit of a popular name on this pod here is
Dodgers.
Yeah, I
mean, the Dodgers. We need to get him on.
I traded him. I'm sure we talked about that.
Yeah,
Drew Jason. Did I really?
Was that
the Trevor Story deal?
It was a Trevor Story deal. But
I got inquiries about Trevor Story today being the trade deadline.
There we
go. Guess, but, Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. The Dodgers middle infielder Gavin Lux was sent back to AAA over the weekend. Gavin Lux battled a hamstring injury right after the All-Star break. However, things had kind of taken a turn for the worse even before that. Since June 18th, he was only hitting 153. He's only had one multi-hit game. He's also not hit a home run since June 11th. So clearly the demotion was warranted, but it still kind of comes as a bit of a shock as somewhat of a former number one prospect here. What does this demotion do for Lux and your thoughts on Lux? And can he rebound? And can he ever learn to hit major league hitting? Because it doesn't seem like he can at this point.
Go ahead, Nick. I'm mid negotiation.
Okay. All right. I really need you to finish the deal before the pod's over. So you just do your job.
I don't think I'm going to, but I mean, I'm close in with
we'll
three different.
We'll stay on the air. We'll stay.
All right. We're live on mic.
I'm not going to call him Scott Kingery.
Oh, you might want to.
But he might be a close cousin. Because he's still a Dodger, so that tells me that the Dodgers kind of believe in him, and they're a team that I trust. But next year, he's going to have to do something, or he's going to be dead in the water, at least in my dynasty evaluating. Because there's only, he can hit AAA. He can hit in the minors. But that jump to the major league pitching has seemed to be too big for him.
It's too big for a lot of people.
It is, but he seemed so good.
Yeah, Lux.
This is going to be one, if he fails, and I never hope for anyone to fail, but this is going to be it should be a bigger deal than it will be. Because they'll just be like, oh, he was just a prospect. But with guys like us that are in these deep leagues, he was a guy that people thought was going to be a superstar.
He was like a Kelenic, Kelenic, Julio Rodriguez. Borderline Wander Franco-ish. I mean, maybe not quite, but not far off.
He's still 23.
Yeah.
So give him to 25, I guess. But once they hit 26...
Definitely. Yeah, he'll be traded by then, you would assume. But, I mean, yeah. I'm looking at his stats right now, and he's got close to a major league season underneath his belt. He's got 127 games, 472 plate appearances. So, not quite a full season. He's probably, 20 games short of, what you would consider it maybe a full season, but close enough that we can look and see, 11 home runs, 54 RBIs, and he's striking out at a pretty high clip. 118 strikeouts to 45 walks, 6 stolen bases, batting .217. His on-base percentage would be a nice batting average.
Yeah.
.294, 647 OPS. So, I mean, he definitely has got some room to grow in drastically. And, would it surprise anyone if 2022, he figures something out and puts up a 2020 season batting .280 with a, 340 on base? No, I don't think that would surprise anyone. He's got that kind of talent to where it could just happen, it could just happen. Or he could just be a 4A player, he could just be a guy that, super dominant in the minor leagues, but he's just a tick below being able to put that together against the best pitchers in the world. The good news for the Dodgers is, a lot of teams, if Gavin Lux were to end up being a failure, that would be a huge hit. The Dodgers, who cares? Whatever.
Let's just put
no Trevor Bauer, no Gavin Lux. That's cool. Who cares? No Cody Bellinger, basically. Who cares? No big deal. Second best record in the league. I don't need these MVPs and Cy Young winners and number one prospects. So if it's if somebody can take the hit, it's the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and hopefully Jason Beckner.
Yeah, you think they maybe knew something was there? The demotion was coming after they acquired Trey Turner. I think the writing was on the wall for them to see, be like, hey, you know, get down to AAA, see if you can rebound and get back up here next year or even the year after that, because it's getting ugly for Gavin Lux and Gavin Lux owners. But let's not demoralize myself anymore.
yeah, right. You still got time, man. You still got time.
Oh, yeah. But let's get into something here a little bit different. I thought it was kind of an interesting topic here to talk about as far as dynasty owners go. With the calendar turning another page tomorrow, and it's becoming September 1st, which means roster expansions. However, this year might look a little different than in years past. Something that I think most people aren't really talking about is the change in September roster expansions. This year, in years past, teams were allowed to call up as many players as they wanted as long as they were part of their 40-man roster. Now, this season, though, teams are now only allowed two extra roster spots. So obviously that's a bit of a big hit for dynasty players, since, you know, in the past teams would call up their top prospects and we get to see, you know, them kind of perform, whether it be non-contenders or even contenders getting a look at some of the top prospects. But I know obviously with the whole COVID situation thing and the minor league system getting pushed back here a little bit, you know, the leagues go into September now. So, it's just kind of a small nuance, and I thought maybe it was kind of interesting. What are you guys thought about the September roster expansions? And is this, you know, something that concerns you, not necessarily on your outlook on players, but just not being able to see them a little earlier than we hoped, you know, in years past? You know, you might be able to see that guy come up and get a couple extra games here at the end of the year.
So I always thought that 40 was excessive. Mm-hmm. But I also think that 28 isn't enough.
Agreed.
You know, I think somewhere in the, I don't know, at least 30, definitely no more than 35. So right. I don't know, 30. If they're doing 26 normally, mm-hmm. I think like 31, you know, maybe makes sense. Which I know is only like two or three more guys, but I think that even when teams would, you know, have a full 40-man roster, those 40 guys didn't play. They right. would bring up a guy like, Christian Robinson or something, let's say. Maybe that's a little too far out, but as an example, they'd bring up a guy like that. Or maybe, like, the Dodgers would bring back Gavin Lux, and he just wouldn't play. So they're up there just to be around the big league club, get, you know, a little more up close and personal with, you know, the coaches and stuff at that level. You know, maybe get a little bit better instruction, but they're not playing. I think if you did, like, a 31 – now you can have those guys, you know, who, you know, you bring up a prospect, you know, that maybe, you know, wouldn't have obviously seen the big leagues, and maybe he's not starting for you, but you can throw him in the bullpen, you know, let him become a long reliever, get two innings here, get three innings here, you know, get some innings, but, you know, he's not, you know, that big of a deal. I think what you're going to see is, like, just about everything, there are, you know, quote-unquote loopholes to get around this. And I think that having 28 players is going to still be enough that what you're going to see now, and this is what I would do, what you're going to see is if I want to bring up, you know, a guy to make a start, I'm going to call him up. I know that I'm, you know, using an option, but I'm going to call him up. I'm going to let him make a start. And guess what? I'm going to send his ass right back down. And then I'm going to call up the next guy. And I'm going to let him come into the bullpen or whatever. And then when that fifth day is up, guess what? I'm going to call that motherfucker back up again. I'm going to let him make the start. I'm going to send him right back down. He's not going to be usable for 4 days anyways. Yeah. So I think you're going to see roster manipulation. You're going to see somebody get called up, make a few starts. Okay, we're going to sit him on the bench, you know, for a few days, for a week or something. Demote him.
Right.
Bring somebody else up. It's a bullpen. I just think you're going to just see the same guys. They're just, when they're not going to be used, they're just going to get demoted. And I don't think it's going to be as crazy as what I just said, where you're going to see teams making two or three moves like every day. But I think you're going to see some teams who are literally going to do what I said with the pitcher. They're going to bring him up, let him start, send him right back down. When it's time for him to start again, bring him back up, send him right back down. So I think that's what you're going to see. So I don't think it makes a huge difference as far as like on the field, but as far as, you know, teams getting their hands on these guys for you know, a month, I think that's where it's going to impact them negatively. Mm-hmm. I don't really see exactly why the rule is in place. Like I said, I think 40 is too much, but I don't see the harm in it necessarily. I mean, it is kind of weird to say, okay, pennant chase time, we're in the push right now. Okay, well, Dodgers, you can bring up all your prospect arms and throw them in the bullpen, and now you get an advantage if you've got a really deep, you know, you're playing by different rules than you did for the whole rest of the year. So that is kind of dumb, but I think that it's going to turn into something very similar with being able to move guys up and down, up and down, up and down if you need to.
Yeah, they're going to find a way.
If well, that is the way. I mean, that is the way, you know.
It's Dave's way.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen, though. Just watch.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I thought it was a little nuanced that was, you know, like I said, it's not necessarily for values of any players, but just selfishly, you like to see.
Just to get
know,
eyes oh,
I
on
get
him.
The, yeah, get your eyes on the guy and see how he kind of holds up against the other players in the MLB. So,
because even some of these guys will get like a pinch hit that, you know, you don't expect because it's 11-1. You know, Arizona's getting their ass kicked and it's like, oh, let's just let's let him have an at bat. And then if you're a fan, yep. You're like, whoa, hey, holy shit.
That's cool.
And then he strikes out, and you're like, ah, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, exactly. But still, it's cool. If you go yep. to the games and stuff, you know, you can, you know, watch some of these guys in batting practice before the game, you know, watch them catch and fly balls. And I think it's good for the player as a whole. It may not be good for the game to do the 40-man, but I don't know. Here's what I do know, though.
Yeah.
I do know, Nick, you're going to love this.
Down on the farm.
Because it's your turn for your on the right. farm.
Either someone just got shot outside my apartment or there was like fireworks going off.
But excitement like, for down on the
somebody
farm.
Probably watching live yeah. got all
They're
excited.
They're just really excited about this.
Get off a firework.
Yep.
All right. Crazy guys. This week's Down on the Farm is a member of the COVID-stricken Boston Red Sox.
Shocker.
But what is cool about this one is last year they picked him in 2020. Yeah, 2020. And it was looked at as a slot pick. His name is Nick York. Great hit tool coming out of high school. I forget where he went. But what I really paid attention to was the Vanderbilt coach came out and said this was the best hit tool in the draft. And Vandy is a powerhouse, churns out fucking like guys like Jake Etter, who's an absolute stud.
was.
Yeah. York just got added to the top 100 prospects list of Baseball America, which doesn't really mean anything for like fantasy baseball wise.
So you know that Nick York is in the top 100, but you never heard of Jake Etter, also in the top 100. Probably
he's not on the Red Sox, Dave. He's not on the Red Sox, Dave.
Probably
knew,
right
you
next
knew
to
that
each
answer
other.
Before you said it.
I know I did, but listen, yeah. You also said June 30th last week, so you never fucking know.
What did I say last week?
I asked about Wander Franco's last stolen base. You're like, oh yeah, June 30th, and I'm like. What kind of asshole are you to get that right? But anyway.
I'm crazy sometimes. But he's been tearing it up recently. He's just got promoted to high A in Greenville? Yes. In Greenville?
In Greenville?
Fun fact, I traded Nick York like a week.
No.
Two or three weeks ago, it was
for Gavin Lux.
No, for it would turn out to be like the eighth pick in the first year play draft coming up. So like that was fine with me. It depends on like who's there, but future picks are always
that should be a steal.
Yeah, I hope so. I won't get Max Mayer, so I won't get a Red Sox player. But York is a guy that looks like he's gonna be shooting up boards, not saying he's like Volpe.
Shooting up roids.
Boards.
Oh, boards, roids. What's it's all?
I mean, hey, maybe some more homers come.
Yeah, right. All of a sudden, he's putting 45 home run season.
Yeah, but I want to pick a guy that one is in the Red Sox farm, and two a guy that was looked at as underslot, and people were like, why the hell did we pick this guy? And then they picked a guy called Blaze Jordan, who maybe we'll talk about in a couple more weeks.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's a name people know, though. I mean, before the draft, I mean, there was a point in time when Blaze Jordan was considered a potential, you know, number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has an OPS over 1,000. I mean, 1,000 in high A. So it's someone that's probably you might be able to get because people are like, might not even know who the hell Nick York is. Like in a league that you were referencing, like a 14 teamer, Dave, like Nick York might be somewhere on the waiver wire.
I picked him up on waivers at one point in a 14 team league. And he was waiver fodder for me at that time. We're talking 65 guys, 14 team league. So what are we talking, like 800 players? And he was available, and I picked him up. I was like, well, hell. But I'm pretty sure I don't have him anymore. He's probably not available anymore.
Xander Bogaerts just tested positive for COVID, and he has an RBI tonight.
So well, there you go. There you go. The rare RBI / tested positive.
Yeah, I tried to think of a joke. I couldn't think of one. Sorry. I fucked up.
If his girlfriend tests pregnant tonight, that's considered hitting for the cycle.
There we go. And she missed her cycle.
Yeah, positive. Positive pregnancy test, positive COVID test, and an RBI.
It's like the Gordie Howe hat trick.
Yeah.
Called the Xander.
That was good.
I'm going to tell you to temper your expectations for Nick York because, I mean, even when he got drafted, you know, is as high as he did, like you said, it was a slot pick. So he really wasn't like the 17th best, you know, prospect, but he had some upside, but you know, he's not, you know, you're not looking at him thinking he could be an MLB All-Star necessarily.
Oh no.
But when guys are putting up really good numbers in low A, I can tell you right now, you can just chill with that because the guys that are in low A are either extraordinarily young and just kind of, you know, really starting to get their groove. Most of them have terrible command. So I mean, when you see
glorified high school,
what's that?
Yeah. I mean, low A is like glorified high school baseball almost.
They just I mean, low A is like college ball, I guess. You know,
I guess. I mean,
so but I mean, my point is, when it comes to low A, you can ignore stuff like on base percentage, walks. You can ignore stolen bases because these guys aren't good at holding runners on. Catchers typically aren't, you know, your super, you know, elite arms like you're going to see at higher levels. You know, the batting average is nice, but again, he's facing terrible pitching. So you can take most of the offensive numbers and you can throw them right away pretty much until you get to double A. When you get to double A, then you can kind of look at stats a little bit as long as you're comparing them to guys that are in the same league. Then, okay. You know what I mean? If you know, if he's got 12 home runs and the league leader has 14, well, that says something. But in low A, you're not facing, you know, talent that is, you know, at a very high level. You may be age appropriate for the level, but, you know, a first round pick that is, he's just too good for that level. So let's see what happens in 2022. Later on down the line, maybe second half of the season, we get him up to double A. Now, if he's, you know, if he's putting up an OBP around 400, batting 3-something, you know, double digit steals, double digit home runs. Now we can get interested. Probably not what's going to happen. You know, he's probably going to drop down to, I don't know, what, 270, 280. Maybe OBP drops down to like in the 350s. And then when he gets up to triple A, that might drop a little bit. We'll see. If you get a utility guy out of him, that's probably a pretty good success. You never know, though. I mean, he very well could turn into a Pedroia light. It's not impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, unlikely, but it's you know, yeah. If you get like a Marwin Gonzalez, I think you chalked it up as a huge win.
Yeah. Cool.
That's all we got.
Nothing, Jason.
Oh, I'm
Jason. This camera. You look fantastic.
Thanks,
man. Here. Let's just hold on.
Hey, everybody. My thoughts on Nick York. The stuff that he's doing as a 19-year-old already, I mean, it's great, right? I think he got 12 home runs, 11 stolen bases. But like Dave said, we got to, minimize our expectations. He's only at low and high A. So, So until then, let's see what our next final thoughts are here.
I'm just happy that you got a little FaceTime right there. Yeah.
I think I'm going to start using this computer from now on.
Yeah, I feel like you should. I loved it. I wanted to make it full screen. Hopefully the two people that were watching didn't turn it off.
Yeah.
But if they did, it's probably no worse.
Probably than, Nick fans.
Yeah, it's probably no worse than people that know about probably baseball Nick's having to listen to Nick talk about stuff, you know? It's the same difference.
It is.
The only reason people keep me around is because I make animal music videos. So.
True.
Other than that, I don't have a whole lot of use.
Dave, I need your answer to Jason's question.
Three's that? Too many.
All right, two.
Two's too many.
I'm going to go with...
the dad from King of the Hill.
Jack Bauer from 24. That's a good one.
So what was the exact question?
Three people... Well, like...
One.
The original question was sitcoms, so...
Oh, I can't even say Jack Bauer.
Yeah. Sorry, Jason. Oh. So... One to three people from sitcoms that you think represent your characteristics.
My characteristics.
What are your characteristics, Dave?
We're getting way too deep down this.
Asshole. annoying. Chubby. You know, so I have. This was a while ago because it was on Netflix. And then I started to watch it, and then Netflix found out that I was starting to watch it. So then once I finished the first season, they took the entire series off. Yeah, I got through the first season, and then, like, literally, I was, like, binging it. Like, I got through it in, like, 2 or 3 days. And I was like, okay, cool. Had the week.
You're fucking Costanza.
Costanza? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that works.
What were you going to say then, Dave?
Sorry. I was gonna say I don't even know of a name, but I was just gonna say somebody from the league.
Okay.
But it's been so long since I've seen it that I can't even name a guy, but I just feel like I probably could name somebody.
Dre.
Oh my god. Okay, I actually remember who that is.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll go with that.
All right,
that's enough of this horse shit.
Yeah, that's a good way to leave it on.
I do, hey, real quick though. When this is all done, I need you guys to stick around. I need to talk to you.
Okay.
All right, cool.